And I know someone else is being blessed and being ministered to. So many times I go to church and the service was not just for me, but it was for someone. And I'm pleased. But I was personally blessed by the service this morning, the preaching, the singing. It was just right for me. God bless you, Brother Green and Brother Lewis, and you that were leading the singing, these old songs that you sang. I'm telling you, I like those old songs. I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old, I don't know, but I like these old songs. Praise God. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Do you love His name? Do you love the name of Jesus? Do you really love the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you in Jesus' name. I deeply appreciate the beautiful breakthrough in the Spirit that we had here last night. I just feel like many of you were marvelously and wonderfully delivered and got an answer to prayer. There has been many testified to me this week about healing. Let me give you just a word of wisdom from a pastor. If you've been under a doctor's care, now I don't want to cross any swords with anybody here today, but if you've been under a doctor's care and you feel that God has healed you, don't you just suddenly stop going to that doctor. Because in fact, if God has healed you, that doctor will verify your healing and confirm that healing. Now, don't you expect a doctor to tell you God healed you. He's not going to do that. But he can tell you you haven't got it anymore. He's not going to tell you God took it away. There might be one or two around that will say God did it, but not very many. But at least they can tell you you don't have it anymore. Amen. I recently was wonderfully healed myself. I woke up one morning and sit down on the couch that was in my bedroom. It's my place of prayer and meditation. And as I was meditating, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and told me there was a tumor in my body. Not only did it tell me there was a tumor in my body, it told me where it was at. So I went to my family doctor and I said, Dr. McBurney, there is a tumor in my body and I'm going to tell you where it's at. He said, how do you know? I said, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. Just examine me and see. Well, he's not a Christian, and when he thought he found it, I'm not going to repeat what he said. But he confirmed that he thought it was there. And so right where I told him. And so he sent me to a specialist. And he confirmed that it was there. And he wanted to get a biopsy of it. And that meant I had to go under anesthetic in an operating room. And he said it would only take about 15 minutes. It would be very simple. No problem. Something went wrong. I don't know what happened exactly. But they couldn't get the respirator down my throat. And my lungs filled with my blood. They damaged my lungs. And my lungs filled with my blood. And I nearly drowned it on my own blood. And 4 hours later, I came to. I knew something had went wrong because I was in the dye room. Amen. The funny thing is, they never did get the biopsy. And after a couple of days, that blood dried up out of my lungs. I was a little bit wobbly, but I got out of that hospital. And they started pressing me hard to get that biopsy again. I said, nothing doing, buddy. You had your one and only shot at me. Nothing doing. Well, he pressed, and he got to talking to Sister Cole, and then she started pressing. He needed a biopsy. So I called him, and I said, I'm not going to let you do that biopsy, but I'll let you examine me to see whether the tumor is still there or not. And this is his exact words. That's insane. I know it's there. I said, you do not know it's there. You know it was there. But the church has been praying. And they believe it's gone, and I believe it's gone. And I'm going to let you take a look and see whether it's gone or not. And when he examined me, it was gone. God had healed me. Praise be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And 6 months ago, I took a complete examination, and they said there was not even a scar where it was at. Praise the Lord. Amen. So my word of wisdom to you, if you've been under a doctor's care, with your heart or with sugar diabetes and some of these critical things, don't just suddenly cut them off. They will confirm your healing. But there has been some healings in this place, and there's going to be some more. I feel the spirit of healing and power here today. Hallelujah. Let's just give the Lord another great big hand praise. I've been bringing you 4 lessons from the book of Esther. The first lesson I brought on Tuesday, the final results of hatred and bitterness and revenge. And we dealt with a very serious and important subject. Many of you were touched in the spirit, and healing began in your spirit, and we rejoice in that. And we talked about Haman, who was exalted to the second highest position in the entire empire of the Medes and the Persians. And because one single poor peasant foreigner would not salute him, he lost everything that he had. Lost his wealth, lost his positions, lost his authority, lost his family, lost his honor, and finally lost his life because he could not handle one single person not saluting him. The Lord can help us to be bigger than that. I said, the Lord can help us to be bigger than that. Praise God. Yesterday I talked to you about wise men and women who knew the times and the impact of their lives upon us. Joash, I mentioned Joash as being a child king who was marvelously and miraculously preserved by Jehosheba and by Jehoiada, the priest. And they wonderfully, miraculously preserved his life. When that wicked woman Athaliah wanted to destroy the royal seed. But God preserved them. And as long as Jehoiada and Jehosheba was living, Joash was one of the very, very few kings of Judah after the division of the nation that was a good king. For many years, for more than 40 years, Joash was a good king as long as Jehoiada lived. And when Jehoiada died, Joash returned to idolatry and led all of Judah into idolatry again. What does it mean, Brother Cole? I'll tell you exactly what it means. I don't care even if you're a king, you need a pastor. You need somebody to answer to. I don't care if you're not only the president of the bank, maybe you own the bank. You need a pastor. I don't care how successful you are as a businessman, you need a pastor. I don't care if you're the richest man in Arkansas, you need a pastor. And you need to listen to him. You need to take his counsel and advice. He'll help you save your soul. Can you say amen? I don't care if you're the best preacher in the United Pentecostal Church International. You'd better have somebody that's your pastor. Somebody that can look you straight in the eyes and say, hey, you got off track here a little bit, fella. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I have someone. I certainly do. I never shall forget one man who became extremely depressed. Oh, it's a terrible thing to get in a position that you have lost your way. I remember losing my way once. I just absolutely lost my way. I was being badgered by the enemy and so many things. I was experiencing many, many people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in those days. It was very, very normal for me to have at least 100 receive the Holy Ghost in my revival meetings every single week. That was normal. Anything less than that was unnormal. And I became frustrated. I became confused. I just became very depressed, extremely depressed. Maybe I was exhausted and tired. I lost my way. I remember I called a man whom I had great confidence in. Called him by name. And I said, I have not sinned, but I have lost my way. And I have canceled all my meetings. I'm not going anywhere. And that man took charge of my life for the next 30 days. I did not go anywhere. I did not do anything unless he told me to do it. Or if he told me not to do it, I didn't do it. He took absolute, total control of my life. And he led me out of that situation. We all need somebody like that. I said, we all need someone like that. Amen. I remember a couple of weeks passed, and he called me and he said, Billy, I want you to go and conduct a Holy Ghost rally in such and such a place. I said, I'm not going to do it. My faith has cracked. I'm just crying all the time, and I'm not going to do it. He said, you put your life in my hands, and you told me you was going to do what I said do. And I'm telling you to do it. Do it. I said, all right. And I got in my car and I drove 300 miles. And God being my witness, I cried every mile of the way. I literally sobbed till I could hardly see the highway. And when I got there, I had enough mental intelligence to know that I wasn't going to pray anybody through in that kind of an approach. You have to step to the pulpit with positiveness. Amen. When you're going to pray people through the Holy Ghost. So I got alone and got the redness out of my face and dried up my tears and stepped to that pulpit the way that I knew that I had to. And in that one service, God filled 67 people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that's not what I want to tell you. That's not what I want to tell you. That's good, but that's not what I want to tell you. The next day I drove home and I cried all the way home. I sobbed all the way home. I had lost my way. But because there was somebody that I depended on, someone that I had confidence in, I want you to know that there are men sitting right here in this tabernacle right now, a lot more than one, many men, that I have enough confidence in that I could turn to them in such a time as that and say, I've lost my way. I want you to lead me. I want you to help me. Thank God for the ministry. Can you say amen? Thank God for the ministry. And He led me out of that. And I rejoice in that. I had a district superintendent sometime after that call me. And a man was in deep depression. Deep depression. And that superintendent thought I perhaps could help him. And so I went to him and I told him the same story that I just told you. And I said, what you need to do is choose someone that you have confidence in. Don't you do nothing that they don't tell you to do, and don't you do anything they tell you not to do. Just let them take control. And I'll never forget what he said. As long as I live, I'll never forget his response. He said, there is not a man in the world that I trust like that. You talking about a sad epitaph. That was 23 years ago. And that man still has license. And he has wandered for 23 years in a total, aimless, worthless life. I don't care who you are or how big a church you pastor. And it must not be with just your lips. You've got to mean it from your heart. Or one of these days you're going to buck up against something you cannot handle. Can you say amen? Thank God for the ministry. Let's give our preachers another hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And now we come to this third lesson. And I trust that it will bless you. One brother said, you haven't got me yet. I'll get you today. Really, he was teasing me. I've got him every day, all day. Praise God. The King of Kings chooses his bride. And in the Medo-Persian Farsi language, the Shah de Shah chooses his bride. I want to read for you. If you'll turn to the second chapter of Esther, there's so many lessons in this book. We've got time for two more, one today and one tomorrow. And then I don't care what you people do. I'm heading to see my girlfriend. You can run this camp meeting for 30 days more and I'm not going to be here. She's a sweetheart. Esther chapter 2, beginning with verse 2. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, 127 of them, if you please, or 120 nations, we would call them today, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. Now, if you'll drop down to verse 8, we'll read a little bit more. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, when many, everybody say many, maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obeyed, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and 7 maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it or tell it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go to the king, Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. And in the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned unto the second house of the women, to the custody of Shehagaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted into her, and that she was called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abigail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, unto the house royal, in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set her the royal crown upon her head, and made her queen instead of Vashti. Would you lift your hands with me, and let's pray that the Lord will bless this study here today. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your very, very precious people that has come into this sanctuary today. We pray, O God, that you shall anoint and bless. Help us, O Lord. Help your people to receive your word today without offense. Let they be encouraged and strengthened and lifted up. And I pray, O God, that you shall anoint my mind and cause my mind to be alert, and loose my tongue that I may speak to your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. In the 19th verse of the first chapter, Vashti is set aside because of her rebellion and disobedience to the king of kings, Ahasuerus. She was set aside. This becomes a beautiful example of what God has done with the nation of Israel. Israel was the people of God. But he chose to set her aside and to choose another. If that had not have been, you and I would not become a part of the bride of Christ. You and I as Gentiles would not have that glorious and marvelous opportunity that we have. Are you glad that he has chosen another? Praise God that he has grafted us in also. It happened in the 10th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom of heaven, was called and sent by the Holy Ghost and said, "Don't you call anything common or unclean that I have cleansed," and sent him to the household of Cornelius, an Italian soldier, if you please. And Cornelius' household was gathered together. And there, while the apostle was yet speaking to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them while they heard the word. Are you glad when the Holy Ghost fell upon you? Can you remember the day that God gave you the Holy Ghost? Oh, what a difference that makes. That puts us in a different situation altogether. When God pours out the Holy Ghost upon us. Praise God! Do you really love Him? Do you really love Him? Joel prophesied that there was going to be a mighty outpouring of His Spirit in these last days. And God is pouring out His Spirit. And I believe that His Spirit is going to bring a massive revelation of the oneness of God and baptism in Jesus' name. Are you aware that today that there are 351 million people in the world that speak with tongues?
Ah, Brother Cole, they speak with tongues of the devil.
Sir, you be careful lest you blaspheme the Holy Ghost.
We better watch our mouths. If it's not of God, it will come to naught. I said, if it's not of God, it will come to naught. Just don't forget, some of you got the Holy Ghost in the Assemblies of God and the Church of God. And then we baptized you in Jesus' name, and you did not get another Holy Ghost. You kept the same one you had. Hello, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. Time to laugh, Billy Cole. Let me remind you that the revelation of the Holy Ghost came many years before the revelation of the oneness came. I believe the revelation is going to come. I believe the revelation is going to come. I really do. There's going to be a lot of women in that house, but there's only going to be one of them chose to be bride. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And God has prophesied in His Word that there would be a great revival. He said in Joel, and the Apostle Peter even quoted some of His words, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, because I'm going to pick just a half a dozen or so, or a half a million, and I'm going to give them the Holy Ghost and not give it to no one else." Is that what it says? It's not what it says at all. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. I'm expecting the greatest things to happen before me. I'm expecting things to happen in my future that I have never seen in the past. I've seen a lot of people get the Holy Ghost. I've seen people in 34 different nations get the Holy Ghost. I've seen as many as 2,225 people get the Holy Ghost in one single service. But I'm expecting to see greater things than that happen in the future. I'm expecting greater things than that to happen in the future as we near to the coming of the Lord. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain. That's what happened back during the apostles' time. Moderately, everybody say moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I, everybody say I sent among you. Just don't you worry about God. Everything's under control. Somebody said God's too late. Oh, no, God's not too late. He's not going to be too early. He's not going to be too late. Everything's under control. Everything's right on time. God's going to do his great thing. Can you say praise the Lord? We may get a little impatient. We get a little impatient. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know I get impatient. Very impatient. I'm not going to settle for anything that's phony. But I sure do get anxious for the real. I get anxious for the real. The reason I'm talking like this right now, because I'm toying with whether I should say a statement that is on my mind, and I just made the decision not to say it. Verse 28. You know, I do have to get out of here. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Isn't that exciting? The decree went out in Esther's day and time. The decree went out to every province in every language and said, let the bride be chosen. I'm telling you, it's the will of God that every province, it's the will of God that PG Islands, every one of them that has inhabitants, hear this message. It's the will of God that every nation in Europe. And let me tell you something. Something marvelous is happening in Europe. I have taught for years and years and years that the political manifestation that we have seen with our eyes, what is happening in governments, in continents and nations, is a physical manifestation of what is happening in the spirit world. And I'll tell you exactly why the Berlin Wall is come down. I'll tell you exactly why communism is crashing to the ground. It's because the intercessors for Europe has finally broken through and broken the back of the power of Satan in those areas. And we're going to see revival in Europe and the Middle East. You wait and see. The time has come. The time has come that Europe's going to hear this message. Someone said, the reason we won that war in Saudi Arabia. Well, we heard a good reason last night. Wasn't that good? Praise God. Someone said the reason we won that war is because we've got the best generals we've ever had. Well, probably we have, but that's not the reason we won that war. Someone said it's because of all this new technology. Let me remind you that we did not use one single plane. That we have not had that technology for 20 years. Someone said, "Ah, Brother Cole, what about the stealth bomber?" It says that they're not even they're trying to debate whether they're even going to make it or not. Are you kidding? You have seen so many pictures of the stealth bomber. You've seen it in news magazines. You've seen close pictures, close-up pictures. You've even seen pictures of inside of that thing. Who do you think you're kidding? This government of the United States wouldn't even let you get close to a picture, let alone close to a plane, if it was something new. That thing is obsolete. And the reason they're putting it on the screens and putting it on the television and the newsreels and in the magazines is because they're wanting to use it for a bargaining tool with Russia. And they're wanting to get rid of it because it's obsolete. You'd never see it unless it was obsolete. One of our distinguished pastors, who is extremely conservative and one of the most mature men of God that I know in the world, and not given to exaggeration in any sense of the word, was once in the military. And I told him this very same thing that I'm telling you. And I said, "Don't answer me." I knew that he was in a position to know whether I was telling the truth or not. I said, "Don't answer me if you'd be breaking confidence, and you shouldn't do it." He said, "Brother Cole, in 1976, I walked into the cockpit of a stealth bomber. We've had it for 20 years. The Russians hasn't been able to brush their teeth without us knowing it for 20 years. It wasn't because of new technology. I'll tell you why. Saddam Hussein rose up in the spirit of Antichrist. And it wasn't God's time. It wasn't God's time. Just as Hitler rose up in the spirit of Antichrist. And God let the armies of the world smash Hitler because it wasn't God's time. He directed his hatred towards Israel. Saddam Hussein directed his hatred towards Israel. But it wasn't God's time. That Antichrist is not going to arise until this church has been taken out of here. There has never been a world empire since the church. There were six. There was the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian, and then the Egyptians, then the Babylonian, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks and the Romans. But as soon as the church came along, it come apart. You know why? Because the kingdom of Satan came apart. It is no match for the church. And the political world is a physical manifestation of the condition of the spirit world. And as long as this church is here, she's all apart. But as soon as this church is taken out, then he'll be able to reunite into the seventh world empire. But not until this church is gone. And I'll tell you what it means. It means that God is ready to pour out the Holy Ghost on the Middle East. We've already found one church of 2,500 people in the capital city of Saudi Arabia speaking with tongues and baptized in Jesus' name. We didn't even know they existed. Praise God! The time has come. God wants this gospel to go into all the world and all flesh. I don't care if they are Muslims. God wants them to hear this message and to receive this truth. Can you say amen? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you glad that he included you? Are you glad he included you? I have seen the elderly receive the Holy Ghost. I seen a lady one time, a little tiny woman, receive the Holy Ghost. I laid my hand upon her. And pow, over she went on the floor, and I thought, oh my God, that woman's killed herself. But she hit the floor speaking in tongues. Didn't hurt her one bit. And she got up. She said, I am 79 years old. I've been a Roman Catholic all my life. And I have just now received what I've always wanted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was preaching for Brother Chester Wright in the Global Conquest. And he wanted me to... They made a great effort in the last night of that Global Conquest for a Holy Ghost rally. And we had 54 people receive the Holy Ghost in that one single service. And one of them was a beautiful elderly lady, a tiny little woman with beautiful white hair. And she was so pretty. If she would have told me she was 60, I would have believed it. But she walked up to me and she said, Brother Cole, I want you to know I was a Christian before I came here tonight. I said, I believe it, Mother. She said, I got the Holy Ghost tonight. I said, I know, Mother. I heard you speak with tongues. She said, but I was a Christian before I came. I said, I believe it, Mother. And she said, do you know how old I am? And she put her hands on her hips like that. I said, no, what, about 60? She said, I am 90 years old. And God had just filled her with the Holy Ghost. I have seen the young receive the Holy Ghost. I've seen children receive the Holy Ghost. How many of you have seen children receive the Holy Ghost? Oh, it's for all flesh. God wants us all to have it. Amen. I have seen so-called chronic seekers receive the Holy Ghost. The most classic example that I can think of was out in Twin Falls or Rupert, Idaho. And Brother Gleason was still pastor in those days. And he had been hurt by a horse, had trampled him and hurt him real bad. And he was wearing a leather and steel brace over his shoulders down to his hips. He was sitting in a rocking chair and he said, Brother Cole, these are some of the finest people I've ever pastored in my life. But there's so many of them that have tarried for so long that I just hope they can get the Holy Ghost tonight. I said, well, I've never given anybody the Holy Ghost in my life. But I will preach faith. And if they will believe me, God will fill them with the Holy Ghost. And that night I had them come and sit on chairs. That was so much fun. Just blew your minds when I did that. It's like on the day of Pentecost. When they were on the call, I got the Holy Ghost kneeling at an altar. Now the apostles did. That's okay if you got it that way, but that's Methodist style. John Wesley started that. Am I going to survive this, brother? Bless the Lord. I set some chairs out and had them sit. Then there was an even 30 came. I gave them instructions, not how to talk in tongues, how to get in touch with God. Praise the Lord. And they began to worship the Lord, and pop! One guy way over on the other, on the extreme left, started speaking with tongues, and I heard this brace, Brother Gleason's jingle jangle sound like Santa Claus. And he was jumping up and down. And he said, oh my God, Brother Cole, that man has tarried for 30 years. I just stopped everybody. Boy, I got in a lot of trouble for that too, but it was the will of God. I stopped everybody. And I said, look at him. And faith hit that place. And God being my witness, the Holy Ghost went down that line. And all 30 of them came through speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Hallelujah. One of them had tarried for 30 years, I just told you. Another one had tarried for 26. A woman had tarried for 25. A widow lady had tarried for 19 years. There was 9 of them that had tarried more than 5 years. and all of them received the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues in one single service. God wants all blessed to receive this glorious truth. Hallelujah. And I have seen people come into the church for the very first time in their life and receive the Holy Ghost. Never been there before. Don't know beans about Pentecost. It's so much fun to watch them when they come in and they watch us worshiping, and especially if somebody gets up and runs. Boy, it just blows them away. Hey, amen. Praise God. Oh, my. So many. I've seen the strong receive the Holy Ghost. I remember one time there was 22 people came. 21 came to the altar. And all of them but three had received the Holy Ghost. And I stopped them. I wanted to help those three. And I said, is there any of you that's got a question that you that haven't received the Holy Ghost? And about that time, there was this great big guy come running down the side over here and this aisle. And he said, I've got a question, preacher. And I thought, oh, my God, one of these women is his wife. And he's going to kill me right here before the church. And he could have done it. If God hadn't have stopped him, he could have done it. And I didn't want him to think I was afraid of him, so I stood up on my tiptoes. Didn't help much, but I tried. And I said, what's your question, brother? He said, I'm a sinner. Is there any hope for me? I said, yeah, sinner, right here. I don't know how long it takes God to forgive you, but within 3 minutes those big old hands was going and he was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Hallelujah! They baptized him that night along with 17 of them that received the Holy Ghost. And when he come up out of the water, he just leaped out of the tank like a deer, got everybody wet. I've seen him get the Holy Ghost when they were sick. They brought a man to the church in an ambulance. His adult children had been in the service that morning. One of the most beautiful services I was ever in. That pastor had built the faith of those people so high that when I walked down the aisle, I don't think it actually happened, but I had the sensation of walking 6 inches above the floor. Their faith just lifted me up. There were 33 people in that service that did not have the Holy Ghost that was over 6 years old. 32 of them received. I don't know why the one didn't receive, but that's the Lord's business. And two of them was these adults, children. And so they brought their father, who was dying, to the night service in another church. Brought him in an ambulance. He was dying with cancer of the larynx and the lungs. He did his best to do what I told him to do. And he tried to lift his hands and he tried to worship. He tried to say hallelujah. And he did something like this. He'd say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And blood just burst out of his mouth. And I grabbed my handkerchief and I rushed to him and threw that handkerchief over his mouth. And I said, God, stop this blood in Jesus' name. I said, and the blood did stop. I said, put your hands down. You're too physically weak to do this. I want you to meditate on the Lord. I want you to worship the Lord. And when you feel the moving of the Spirit, I want you to open your mouth. He sat there for 20 minutes. And then suddenly his trembling hands came up. And he was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've seen the educated receive the Holy Ghost. I've seen the rich. Remember one time when we was in North India, we was trying to get to the elders of Assam, India. There was 30,000 baptized in Jesus' name in Assam, India in those days, but not very many of them had the Holy Ghost. Thank God there's been a great revival since that time. And thousands and thousands have received the Holy Ghost. And we tried to get there and couldn't get there. So we brought the elders out. Brother Sism and I spent every dime we had to get them to Bombay. And or to New Delhi. To New Delhi. And we didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't have money to buy a room or food or nothing. But there was a lady there that was the widow of a former member of the ministry that was a member of the cabinet of Mr. Nehru's government. And she had a big home. And she was a friend. And she was a member of the Church of England. And she said to Brother Sism, "I'll take care of them. I will bring them all in my house." There was 14 of them. "I'll feed them." And she did. And he said to me one day, "She's such a fine person. She's a lovely woman. She had beautiful white hair, about 60, 65. And she wore a long Indian beautiful sari dress." And he said, "Oh, how I wish God would fill her with the Holy Ghost." Member of the Church of England. a graduate of Oxford University in England. And so I said, "Well, let's persuade her to come to our meetings." We were having seminar meetings in his living room. And so we persuaded her to come. And I said, "Let me check out her spirit. You know, your spirit has to be right. Isn't that right?" And so when I met her, I whispered to Brother Sism, I said, "Oh, Brother Sism, if we can get that woman to lift her hands and praise the Lord one single time, she'll get the Holy Ghost." So I tricked her. You know, the Bible says, by all means, save some. And I said, "My interpreter may miss what I'm saying, so would you please come and sit right beside me? And if he misses what I'm saying, you can correct him." My interpreter was excellent. I didn't need a help. I needed her close to me. And when I got her close, I told those Assam brothers, "Let's worship the Lord. And the only way you can ever get them to stop is to beat a drum." I'm telling you, they go two steps forward and one step back. Two steps forward and one step back. Someone said, "Is that God?" Sure, the Bible says dance. I appreciate all of you that dance. And I tolerate all of you that stomp. You all that have those convulsions, I tolerate it. Hello, hallelujah, amen, glory God, praise the Lord. Anyhow, I said, "Let's all raise our hands and praise the Lord." Now, I don't know what she was thinking, but she put her face right down in her hands and just shook her head. I laid my hand on her shoulder and I said, "Mrs. Lewis, why don't you just like a child, one single time, lift your hands and praise the Lord?" And she raised her hands and she said, "Oh God, you know that I love you." And that was the last thing she said that she could understand. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She spoke in tongues for 20 minutes. She embraced Sister Audrine Sism and wept. I said, "How do you feel now, Sister Lewis?" She said, "Oh, Brother Cole, this is a smashing experience indeed." Praise the Lord. And I have seen the poor receive the Holy Ghost. I was called one time by a home missions pastor who said he had baptized 21 men, but none of them had received the Holy Ghost. So I went to help him. What he failed to tell me was that every family were lepers. They lived in grass houses. Their faces sagged. Their eyes protruded. Parts of their fingers was gone. Parts of their feet was gone. No building. And a pile of lumber became their pews under a tree, and a fence post became my pulpit. And I watched as those men lifted their hands and began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. What does it mean? It means that this message is going out to all flesh. We've run into a few problems of how to do this PIM thing. I'm telling you, we'd better get it solved because God has commissioned us to go into all the world. And you people, it's got $50,000 and $100,000 and $500,000 in the bank. You'd better talk to God about it. He's coming soon. No, that didn't bring too much response. God bless your heart. Well, my time is getting away from me. I need to hurry on. Praise God. They was to choose fair, beautiful women from every province. I want you to know that when you come into the kingdom of God and you receive the Holy Ghost, you're just instantly beautiful. You've seen it happen, haven't you? You see that old countenance change. And something takes place when you have been chosen to come. Hallelujah. There is nothing in the world more beautiful than the people of God. I do a lot of traveling, but I've never seen anything anywhere in the world as pretty and beautiful as the church. The most beautiful thing in Arkansas is sitting right in front of me right now. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Living for God. Clean and holy. Before the Lord. Oh, I must hurry. But they were gathered. Not into the palace, but into the house of the women. You see, there wasn't a bride yet. They had their chance at it. They had been selected. They had been brought to the house of the women. They were already beautiful. But there was a time of preparation. They was put in the hands of a eunuch who was to care for those women and to provide for them everything that they needed and even everything they wanted. They were not there for his pleasure. Though he may have enjoyed their company, those women was not there for that eunuch's pleasure. And the church does not exist for the pleasure of the preacher. The church does not belong to the preacher. The church belongs to the King. Can you say amen? It is not my prerogative. It's not my authority. It's not my privilege to ever abuse a saint of God. Ever! Sometimes we beat people half to death over some personal conflict, over personality conflicts. Sometimes we just shred people. Our job is to teach, to teach, to teach, to teach and instruct them and teach them what the King likes. I'm supposed to know what the King likes. And I'm supposed to teach those beautiful people what the King likes. I'm trying to get them ready for the King. They don't belong to me. I don't know if I was inspired or anointed. You know, there is a difference. I had one of the greatest preachers come once that ever lived, Lee Stone King. He's one of my favorite preachers. I love Lee Stone King. But he got mad at our congregation one night. I mean, he plowed them. And then after church, he got to worrying about it. He said, "Brother Cole, was I anointed tonight?" I said, "Nah. But you sure was inspired." Don't ever ask me a question unless you expect me to tell you the truth. Sometimes this thing we call diplomacy kind of squeezes across the border of lying. Hello, hallelujah, amen, glory to God, praise the Lord. (Laughter) Amen. I don't know whether I was anointed or inspired, but I told the congregation one night, I said, this beautiful building, and we do have a beautiful building. I said, this beautiful building belongs to this beautiful congregation. And this beautiful congregation belongs to our beautiful Lord. But this pulpit belongs to me. I'm responsible of what is taught in that pulpit. And it's not to abuse the saints. It's to teach the saints. It's not to beat the saints. It's to feed the saints. Praise the Lord. We're to try to help you to get ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Esther had several things in her favor. The chamberlain loved her and liked her. She pleased the chamberlain. I like to think of the chamberlain as the pastor. Getting you ready for the king. And there's advantages to that. Don't you think for one minute there's not advantages to that. The Bible says that she obtained kindness from him. Let me tell you something. Your pastor is going to do what I just was teaching, not to abuse you. But you must understand that we are human beings. And we have our limitations. And if you badger us every day, and eat us for dinner every time you sit down with your kids and your husband and your wife, and it's just always eat preacher for dinner every day, sooner or later, something's going to snap in that preacher and he's going to get you. Praise the Lord. I remember one little sister. Oh, she was the biggest gossiper that ever lived. Bless God, she stopped that. She was one more gossiper. She'd look around over the church, you know, and she'd see somebody crying a little bit. You don't have to have discernment. If you see somebody's troubled, just pick out the ones that's crying. Use your eyes. God don't have to tell you. She sees someone a little teary. Oh, little darling, what's the matter, baby doll? And she wanted to know all her business. And some of them be silly enough to tell her. People call you sometime and say, I've had a burden for you. Say, thank you. You don't have to spill your guts. Thank you for praying for me. You don't have to tell them everything that's wrong. A lot of times that's the reason they tell you that. So you tell them everything's... Tell them all your business. You better be careful who you tell your business to. Praise the Lord. Is this good teaching? I thought it was. Praise the Lord. Speedily, the things of purification was given to her. She was beautiful when she got there, but she wasn't just right. There was that preparation time. There was a time of preparation. And you were beautiful when you came to the Lord. When God gave you the Holy Ghost, you're already beautiful. But He's still working on us. Can you say amen? He's still working on us. Remember, Jesus healed 10 lepers. One of them came back. And Jesus said, where are the other 9? And He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. You remember, He told them at first, all 10 of them, to go and show yourself to the priest, because they were lepers. Part of their fingers was gone. Their faces sagged. Part of their feet was gone. And though God healed them, still parts of their body was gone. And so when someone looked at them, they knew they had had leprosy. And they had to have a certificate. That's true in Asia yet today. Those that have had leprosy, they have to have a certificate. Even many of them have been healed. They have to have a certificate that they are clear of leprosy. They have to get it every year. They have to get it every year. And He told them to go show yourself to the priest. In other words, go get that certificate. But the one that came back and worshiped, He didn't tell him to go to the priest. Because He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. When you first come in the church, you're healed. But if you'll be faithful to church,
and worship God and listen to the Word of God, you will be made whole. And the scars of sin will disappear from you. People that just got the Holy Ghost, their countenance has changed. That's true. And you can see a great difference. But you can still see the marks of sin in their life. But after they've been around about 5 or 6 years, and they've been faithful to God, listened to the preacher, listened to the chamberlain, did the things that he knows that the king loves. Can you say praise the Lord? It isn't long until someone says, I used to be a hippie, or I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a drug addict. And you look at them and say, well, boy, you sure don't look like it. You know why? You've come back to worship. You have come back to worship. And the Lord has made you whole. Hallelujah! There is that time of purification. And if the preacher likes you, you're going to get those things quicker. I don't go jump on everybody every time they do something wrong. Some people, you say something to them, they'll blow the church to pieces. You go and touch some people and say, hey, you're out of order. You should not do that. Kaboom! And you've got a great big riot right in the middle of your church. Well, Brother Cole, we've got to save them all. That's true. And in our effort to save them all, there's a few of them you leave alone. My father taught me, Billy, don't never hit a skunk with a stick. Sometimes God gives you the spirit of discernment and the word of knowledge, not so you'll go touch that person, so you'll drive around that person and leave them alone. Spiritual insight is a little bit like your eyesight. And if you're driving down the highway and there's a log laying across the road, your eyesight is not so you'll hit that log right smack in the middle and tear the front end out of your car. It's so you'll slam on your brakes and drive around that thing. And there's a few people in your congregation that when they do something wrong, you better drive around them. But if they love you and respect you, and you can go to them and talk to them, and they're not going to create a riot. I talked to somebody the other day, and he fell on my floor like a dead man. Just a wailing and a crying. And when he got up, he said, thank you, Brother Cole. I love you so much. Thank you, Brother Cole. You think for 1 minute that I wouldn't go to a man like that? I'd go to him speedily. Speedily. But there's a couple out there I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. They're either going to make it on their own or go to hell, one or the other. Because I've got to save the whole church. I can't wreck a whole church just trying to save one rebel. I can't wreck a whole church trying to save one rebel. Praise the Lord.
All right.
Is that good, Bishop?
That's all right.
I looked around to see if you're still with me. Praise the Lord. God Almighty. And they gave her the best place. There are 351 million people in the world today speaking in other tongues. Don't you say that that Catholic that talks in tongues is of the devil. I'm telling you, you're toying with total destruction when you do that. You leave that between them and God. But I want you to know God has given us the best place. He has given us the revelation. Hallelujah. There are many people that have experiences with God. Beautiful experiences with the Lord. But they don't have the best place. God has given the United Pentecostal Church the best place. I'm not sure we always appreciate it. We don't always appreciate it. But anyhow, we've got the best place. Can you say praise the Lord? And he was going to give them myrrh and all of these spices, oil of myrrh and sweet odors. And they were to prepare themselves for 12 months. In verse 13, it says, and then came the every maiden. And then thus came every maiden into the king.
Whatsoever she desired was given to her out of her house, of the women, unto the king's house. In another place it says he gave to her those things that belong to her. I don't know about you, but I want everything that belongs to me. I want the gifts of the Spirit. I want it all. I want wisdom. I want understanding. I want discerning of spirits. I want the word of knowledge. I want it all. I want it all. And I especially want wisdom. Can you say amen? I want everything that belongs to me. I'm sick and tired of our 40-year-old people dying with cancer. I'm sick and tired of it. I want it all. Whatever it is that God's got for us. Hallelujah. They could get it all. Anything they desired, they could have. And I am persuaded that many times we don't get things just because we don't desire them. Brother Cole, I want God to fill with the Holy Ghost in our church. And you let someone get the Holy Ghost, and you're back in the corner of the church talking about your car or fishing somewhere. You tell me you want people to get the Holy Ghost? Somebody can get the Holy Ghost, and a half a dozen folks is excited, and everybody else is jabbering and talking and conversation and completely uninterested. Don't tell me you want that revival. Don't tell me you want revival. You get what you want. Most of us want enough members so we can pay the bills and pay the preacher. It gets any bigger than that, we don't want it. All them new converts coming in and getting the Holy Ghost takes away the power of our vote too. Hello, hallelujah, amen, glory to God, praise the Lord. You get what you want. You can have the desires of your heart. The rule and the guideline was, let the maid which pleases the king be given. And be the one that would be the queen. Amen. Amen. Someone says, well, I'd like to have a little bit of this, and I'd like to have a little bit of that. Go ahead. You can have what you want. But just remember, you're not the queen yet. You're not the bride yet. Can you say amen? In verse 15 it says, and Esther required nothing. Everybody say nothing. And Esther required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. She took what her pastor told her the king liked. You can have what you want. Well, I like a little bit of this. Well, go ahead. Help yourself. You're free. Do what you please. Just remember, you're not the queen yet. You're not the bride yet. You're a spouse unto him, but you're not the bride yet. You're in the house of the women. He's going to come one of these days and choose his bride. And as painful as it is to say, there is probably someone sitting in this audience that won't make it. I am determined that it's not going to be me. I am determined it's not going to be me that is chosen to be left here and not be taken and be a part of the bride. Can you say amen? I want to please the king. And the chamberlain knew the king. The chamberlain knew the king. He knew what the king liked. Now they could have, those women could have anything they wanted. They could have anything they wanted. God bless your hearts. They could have it. All they had to do was ask for it. But Esther took only that which the chamberlain recommended to her. And your pastor ought to know what the king likes.
Can you say amen? God bless your heart. I may ruffle some feathers, but I'm going to read it. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. Everybody say, keep the ordinances. That means go by the manual. Praise the Lord. As I delivered them unto you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God. And every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. And that is even as all as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame, everybody say a shame. It'd be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven. Let her be covered. Verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given to her for a covering. Well, Brother Cole, I would just like to trim my hair a little bit. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. It's your privilege. Let me remind you, you're not the bride yet. You're not the bride yet. I said, you're not the bride yet. And the chamberlain said, don't do it. The chamberlain said, if you trim it, you might as well take a razor and shave it. And the king don't want no bald-headed woman. Do what you please. Go ahead. Do what you please. But you're not the bride yet. Now, wait a minute, Brother. Wait a minute. The whole theme of this camp meeting has been love. I'm still on the subject. When we talk about love, we sure aren't talking about compromise. I said, when we say love, we don't mean compromise. There's a big difference between compromise and love. I'm going to love people. I don't care what they do. I've got a couple of women in the church that I pastor, and believe me, they've been there for 10 years. And they still cut their hair. If Almighty God would take human form and tell them to stop, they wouldn't stop. Well, how come they're still in your church? Because I love them. They're not in my choir. They're not in my orchestra. They don't sing special songs. They're not a Sunday school teacher. And they're not going to be as long as I'm pastor. When a choir member cuts their hair, they're coming out. I don't care if the hair lifts the devil. And I don't care if the hair lifts the pastor that's just 2 or 3 miles away from me, too. I'm the chamberlain of the church where I pastor. And I still believe in modest apparel. Because I know what the king likes. The king found Adam and Eve naked. And they took a little bikini, if you please, and made for themselves out of leaves. And God didn't like it. And he made them a coat. So I preach coats. Because I know the king likes coats. He don't like bikinis. We're trying to get you ready to be the bride. If you want to wear bikinis out on the beach, go ahead. Help yourself. But you're not the bride yet. If you want to trim your hair, go ahead. But you're not the bride yet. Hello, hallelujah, amen, glory to God, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The chamberlain knows what the king likes. I said the chamberlain knows what the king likes. Those women that cut their hair, if they call me in the middle of the night to go to the hospital, I'd be there just as quick as I would for the best elder I got. But I will not compromise with them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to be kind to them. I'm going to preach to them. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to make them love me. But I'm going to tell them every once in a while, you shouldn't cut your hair. And let me tell you something, Pastor. If you haven't got the guts to preach the truth, you need to get out of that church. You're going to send that whole congregation to hell. It takes guts to be a pastor. And if you haven't got any, be an evangelist. Was that anointing or inspiration? Bless God, anybody can preach the Holy Ghost and baptize in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, when they get mad at you and walk out, that's painful. That's painful. I try to be just as sweet as I can be. I really do. I go around smiling all the time, hugging their kids and giving them candy and everything else. But I will not compromise with them. I will not do it. There is nothing I will not do for those people except I will not compromise with them. I don't care if my men... I don't care if my men wear neckties or not. That's not in the book. I know some of us make heaven or hell issues out of neckties and all other kind of stuff. Praise the Lord. Am I preaching or meddling or what here? We make heaven and hell issues out of all kind of things. Amen. I'm not going to make heaven and hell issues. You tell your men that they're going to go to hell for wearing a beard if you want to, but you won't find it in this book. I'm not going to do it because it's not in the book. I'll never get invited again now. But I'm telling you one thing, I am not going to compromise. We've made heaven and hell issues out of a lot of things that's not in the book. They plucked Jesus' beard out on the cross. Praise the Lord. I would laugh, but it wouldn't do me no good now. I'm done dead. A laugh ain't going to resurrect me on this one. Hey, folks, let's get our nose back in the book. We've got to get people ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just a little handful. We've got to reach every providence with this message. I said we've got to reach every providence with this message. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand clap. I'll tell you what the king likes. The king loves law, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what he likes. He wants you to be soaking in the sweet odors and in the sweet incense of myrrh. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, it's wonderful when people come in and get the Holy Ghost, and they are so sweet, their life is changed, and it's absolutely horrible when they've been in the church 20 years and they're as mean as a snake. You see somebody walking down the quarters of another town, and you're in a strange town, and you're walking in the mall, you can spot our people anywhere. We got our UPC hairdos, you know. I want you to know I like them. God bless you. You're the most beautiful women in the world. A little Baptist woman told my wife, said, "All you UPC women look alike." She said, "All you Baptist women do too." I love your hairdos. Amen. God bless you. And even if you don't have hairdos, I love your long hair. You're beautiful. You're the most beautiful women in the world. No question about it. No question about it. Hallelujah. Amen. What about this makeup business? Want me to tell you what the king likes? He likes you the way he made you. Don't say too much in the Bible about it, you know. It does mention it 3 times. Jezebel. You want to be like her? Go ahead. You're not the bride yet. Praise the Lord. It mentions paint, unnatural colors. It mentions in another place. And that's when it's talking about Israel being a backslidden nation. You want to be like a backslidden nation? Go ahead. You can have whatever you want. Free country. You're an American. Do as you please. If you don't like me, there's 15 churches within 15 miles of me. Help yourself. They've got everything from A to Z. They'll put you on, some of them will put you on their piano with your hair cut right up to your ears. Help yourself. Go ahead. You're not the bride yet. I'm trying to get you ready for the bride. I'm trying to get you ready for the king. I believe in these gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit. And I believe these things I've just said. But have you noticed that of the 17 fruits of the Spirit, only 2 of them deals with your parents. And the rest of them deals with your spirit. Envy, hatred, sedition, strife, rebellion. That's the works of the Spirit, or the works of the flesh. When it deals, when I should have said, instead of the fruits of the Spirit, I should have said the works of the flesh. There's only 2 of them that deals with your appearance. Uncleanliness. If somebody's sitting beside you holding their nose, you need to go home and take a bath. One brother said, way back there years ago when they preached against cologne, you know. Met each other at the conference, embraced each other, and one of them said, brother, you're wearing cologne. He said, brother, you're not. If it takes a shovel to get through your house, go home and clean your house. Some people, you have to have a bulldozer to get through. Amen. Am I doing okay, Bishop? Y'all still love me? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Another one is lasciviousness. That means to dress in a seductive way. And there's some people, both men and women, want to dress in such a way that they want every single man or woman that walks past them to lust after them. Either by their body language or the way they dress. Let me tell you, it's a sin. It's a sin. God has made provision for every human need we have within the bounds of holiness. And you need to stay in holiness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The rest of them deals with conditions of the Spirit. Now, don't you misunderstand me. I believe cigarette smoking is wrong. It is wrong. And I thank God that our church preached against it. Our church has preached against it since the turn of the century or since its beginning. And we've saved a lot of you from dying with cancer. Can you say amen? Thank God for all the help we're getting from the Lung Society and all those people now. I appreciate that help, don't you? It makes our job a little easier. But I wish some people would stop what they're doing and start smoking instead. We wouldn't even think of letting somebody get in our pulpit and sing or preach smoking. But we'll let them get in our pulpits full of hatred, envy and strife and rebellion. Let me tell you, that's a whole lot worse. That's a whole lot worse. And these old ugly spirits we have. You walk through the mall and you see somebody that looks like one of our people. You can spot them anywhere. Never seen them before in your life, you know. And you try to get their attention. And my God, they look at you. If looks would destroy you, you'd be disintegrated. And you say, that looks like one of our people. And they'll turn around and look at you and say, yeah, that's one of them. You see people in a restaurant and you try to get their attention. You know it's one of ours. Try to get their attention. You know, and my God, they look at you like they just destroy you with their looks. You'd love to go over and shake hands with them, but it'd be like shaking hands with an alligator. Hey, we've got to stop that kind of stuff. He wants you to bathe yourself in sweet smelling.